Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 9 are the words of God that we'll be looking at this evening. Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandments of God of none effect by your tradition. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." The disciples of Jesus were accused by the scribes and Pharisees who had come from Jerusalem of breaking a commandment, that is, a traditional ritual that had been performed by the men of Israel for many centuries in regard to washing one's hands before one ate. They accused them of transgression. Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? The word transgress here means to simply sidestep or to walk around. So they're saying the disciples of Jesus would just walk around some obligation that they were supposed to do because they were Jewish men. Tradition means that which has been delivered, and therefore it's something that was delivered from father to son, from father to son, and a long chain had been formed. So they accused them of stepping away from or around something that had been delivered from father to son over a long period of time. The word that's translated fathers here is the idea of someone who is very old, the elders. Tradition of the elders. So this was something that they should have been taught by the elders, and obviously they had received this teaching, but for some reason they were stepping aside or around it. The Jews believed that they had two sources of divine information. One source of divine information was the law. And that is what God gave Moses on Mount Sinai. And all of this was written down. This was their one of their sources of divine spiritual information. They believed, however, that there was a second source of information from God. And that is, Moses received from the mouth of God to his ear other information, but this wasn't written down by Moses, but God gave him this information, and this information was passed from father to son by word of mouth, generation to generation, until finally it was written down in a book that was called the Talmud. So the Jews had two books, and they had other writings, don't misunderstand me, but they had two books. From these two books, they believed they received from God instruction on how to live their lives. One, the law of Moses, which included the Ten Commandments plus the high priesthood, the offerings, the holy days, and things of that nature. Second, the Talmud, which was the tradition that had been passed from father to son over a long period of time. Now, when the scribes and Pharisees accused the disciples of Jesus of transgressing the tradition of the elders, they were not saying, "You are breaking the commandments of Moses." That's not what they said. they said, you are transgressing the tradition of the elders. Now, the tradition of the elders was a prescribed ritual that one went through as one prepared himself to eat a meal. Now, this ritual included utensils like cups and dishes of that you would eat your food from. It also included the hands. So you had to wash the cup at a particular time and in a very particular fashion. You had to wash the plate, as we would call it, at a certain time and in a very particular fashion, starting from the top, working your way down to here. Then you had to wash your hands in a very particular fashion. You'd wash one hand first, you wash the other hand next, then you would wash perhaps the fingers in a certain order, all of these meaning something. So it was not a matter of hygiene. Washing their hands before they ate was not a matter of getting your hands clean so you would have clean hands to eat with. Really didn't have anything to do with that at all. It was, you know, washing this little finger this way, washing this little finger this way, this way, then the thumb last. And you said, well, suppose you washed the thumb first. Well, you would have done wrong. Suppose you washed the plate first and you didn't wash the cup till last. Well, that would have been wrong. How much water were you supposed to use? You had to use a certain amount of water. It had to be poured in a certain fashion. No more than a certain number of men could wash in the same bowl that they had for washing the hands. It had to be changed frequently after so many people had washed in it. And certain days meant this, certain times meant that. It was a long, drawn-out ritual. And Jesus, knowing that it was not a commandment of God, did not teach his men or his disciples to follow that ritual. They had developed so many of these strict rules that it was difficult to live one's life without constantly being involved in this sort of religious cleansing so that one could try to do the work of God. And it was this that Jesus did not teach his disciples. He taught them the law according to Moses, but he did not teach them to observe that which was in the Talmud. Now, Jesus answered them by bringing up a Bible truth that was taught in the law of Moses that they had made without effect. That's what it says. You have made it non-effect by teaching something contradictory to it that came out of the Talmud. Here's the circumstance. They're saying you didn't teach your disciples to wash their hands according to our traditions, and therefore you have broken God's will and God's laws. Jesus said, wait a minute. We have the commandments that you refuse to keep by using what the elders have taught you, which did not come from God. So you are the ones that are wrong. It is the Ten Commandments. It is the law of God that must be kept and not the Talmud. So this was a matter of theology. It was a matter of they're struggling over a circumstance that existed at that particular time. Jesus answered by introducing them to a great wrong they were practicing. They had allowed tradition to become a way of sidestepping laws that they did not wish to keep. Jesus uses the illustration of what is called Korban. That was simply the fact that if their parents were in need, they could tell their parents, we've dedicated all of our assets to the glory of God and to be used in the work of God, and therefore we can't give you anything to relieve your needs because we vowed to give all of our assets to God, and it would be wrong for us to break our vow. It's sort of like, now there's a commandment to do this, but if we will do this and make a vow, then we have to keep our vow. That keeps us from having to keep the commandment. So they were putting themselves in a position to keep their money and use it with the idea it's dedicated to the temple of God. We won't have to spend it on mother and dad. Here's how it worked. The specific wrong they were doing is recorded here in these scriptures. That is, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? What is the commandment they were transgressing? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. That's one commandment. The next one is, let him die. He that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. So Jesus quoted from the Old Testament. One of them was Ten Commandments. The other was the penalty for having broken that commandment. As I said, they could declare any of their assets to be a dedicated gift to the work of God. This would constitute a vow, and one must not break one's vow to God. In doing this, they could bring one commandment into conflict with another commandment and choose the one they wanted to keep and the one they wanted to break. It's a pretty ingenious way of getting to do what you wanted to do. Here's a law. All right, let's get another law. Let's bring them into conflict with one another and vow a vow concerning one of these laws so that if we do this, we will be breaking our vow. And everybody knows that God doesn't want to break your vow, so that clears us from the responsibility of helping our parents. The idea of profit here, when it's used in connection with this, means to be of service. By whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. That is, any way, it wasn't just money, but any way that my father and mother might receive help or in some way receive a alleviation of their suffering, whether it's place to live, whether it's food to eat, or anything of that nature, even maybe being sold into some sort of servitude. They couldn't do it. Mark gives us a lot more information about that in the seventh chapter, and I won't read all of it, but there's a little more information that I think helps us to understand it. There are some 15 or 16 verses that are used in connection with this, but he says, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things you do. Again, it's not like washing the dishes after you've eaten. It's like washing the dishes before you eat to make them ceremonially and religiously clean. And then this matter of Corban. But if you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profitable to me, he shall be free, that is, free of any obligation to help his mother and father. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered. And many such like things do you. So Jesus said, you're taking things that have the force of law by no other reason than you have done things this way over long periods of time. And you believe that it was what God told Moses, but Moses didn't write down, which was false. Everything that God gave Moses to be written down, Moses did write down. Now, Jesus said, Isaiah prophesied of you and the way you feel. You false ones, you pretenders. How right Isaiah was when he prophesied about you and said, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. There's one important truth here in this verse that I want you to see. To draw near and yet their hearts are far, far off. Listen to this. These people give me lip service, but they hold their hearts far, far from me. Now that makes them a people who would not give their hearts to God. It's not the idea that they're just a long way from me in the sense of being alienated from me, but they deliberately refuse to give me their hearts. So what do they give me instead of their hearts? They give me their lips, they give me their mouth, they give me their talk. But none of these people are willing to take their heart and give it to me. And Jesus said that this is a prophecy that Isaiah spoke of them. But in vain, That is, sometimes vain means just plain empty or without value. But here it means foolishly. So think of it this way. But in a foolish way, they do worship me, which means to pay devotion or to cherish. That is, they say they're worshiping me, but in reality, they're doing something extremely foolish. Now think of that statement for a minute. People today think they're worshiping God, but God looks upon it as an act of foolishness. And you know, there's a big difference in the true worship of God than an act of foolishness. And yet, this is what these people were doing. And these people were quiet and honest and sincere in what they were doing, much different to the religious fads that are breaking out among us. One of them has to do with laughing. People who just laugh until they pass out, and they say this is a form of worshiping God. And I really think it's what Jesus said Isaiah had written about folk like that, and it's just an act of foolishness rather than an act of worship. Foolishly, they attempt to worship God and His commandments, that is, the commandments of men. And this commandment here is just ordinance. For the lessons they teach are but human precepts. So let's look at that again. But in a foolish way, they try to honor me or cherish me, teaching for doctrines, that is, teaching for teaching, that is, the result of their teaching, is simply using the ordinances of what a man has said. Now, Jesus is getting to a point that he wanted these people to see, and we're going to look at that the Sunday that I get back, God willing. And it has to do with the fact that these people were holding their heart all the way away from God because they didn't want God to have their heart. They said, look, we want to give God our lips, but we're not going to give God our heart. And then Jesus, in these next verses, will teach us that it's from the heart that all things that are of value will emanate. It's not from the lips, but from the heart. So Jesus is going to condemn the Israelites for having a lot of foolish activity. Can you imagine how these people looked on this exercise? Very religious way of washing the cups, very religious way of washing the plates, very religious way of washing their hands. And it was probably a very beautiful ceremony with a special towel to dry the hands with, special way to sit while you were doing it. And they were so pompous and they were so pious in this activity, and yet God said it was just a foolish act. You know, if we don't worship God according to this book, it's just a foolish act. You say, well, I want to worship God this way. I want to do this. Well, if it's not what the Bible says, Jesus said, the day is now and is coming when they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. You know, it's getting to a point now where when you worship God according to this book, people think it's foolish. They think it's non-productive. They think it's non-progressive. But this book tells us how to worship God, just like the Ten Commandments and the Law of Moses in all of its power told the Jew how to worship God. But they changed it and made the law of God without effect. They just shoved it aside. And people do that today, because they think that I can think up a way to worship God that's better than the way God has said we ought to worship God. But that's not true. That's what Cain did. Cain said, the way Abel's doing it is not right. I'm going to do it like I think I ought to do. And it was a foolish worship that God did not accept. Jesus condemned them from that. I think it would condemn people today for the very same kind of activity.